polyester over here. So obviously these 12 prophets were all, they started by the times of Hosea. Hosea was the first of the 12. Now, there are some prophets that we're not so sure exactly when they lived. We'll talk about them when we get to them. Obadiah was by Ahav. There's
right,
no question. The question is when his Nevuah happened. We'll see the first line of Hosea is Chilas Dvar Hashem.
How many years are between Ahav and
Yerubim ben Yoash? Alright, so it's Yerubim ben Yoash.
There's a question about multiple Obadiahs.
Obadiah is a little bit of a shiloh, but we'll get to Obadiah when it comes to it. But the way it's said, according to the Neil Malays, is that Hosea was the first one. He has his questions, he has his issues. There's three different Nevi'im that are possible. But nonetheless, from the wording of this over here, the wording is that he was the first. Now, it could be he was the first of the three prophets that prophesied in his time. Yechezkel was during his time, Micha was during his time, and Yoel was during his time. And he was the first of those, Amos is during his time. He was the first of those four. It could be also this was just his first Nevuah. That was the idea behind it. Regardless, he's put in the beginning because of the type of prophecy that he wrote. It's very, very similar to Yeshaya's. Yeshaya is the same way, and we saw this when we were by Yeshaya. We kept going up and down, where Yeshaya would tell them, you're terrible, terrible, but don't worry, things are going to be good. Terrible, 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 things are going to be good. Hosea is very much the same way.
Could it also be because this is the longest?
Hosea is the longest out of all of them.
Yeah.
Right? Then you'd have to say that all the others follow that pattern.
No, but like
right?
It kind of makes more sense. You're going to put like a one parak in front of a 14 parak. You kind of start out with a long one.
The way he understands it is, and it does make sense, his Nevuah is different from the others. The others' Nevuah have very specific, like what they're talking about. Like Obadiah, as we know, is speaking to the other nations, Edom, trying to get them to do. Yonah, we all know, that's the famous one. Chag is Zechariah Malach here during the times of the second Beis Hamikdash, when the second Beis Hamikdash is being rebuilt. Hosea is a little bit different in that type of way. Now, the people at the time were apparently very into Gilui Arayos. Gilui Arayos was a major issue by them, whether that was Ashes Ish or it was either people that were homosexuals or whatever it was that was bothering them at the time. That was the issue that was there. And in order for Hosea to make a splash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to start off with a Nevuah that would be shocking. An absolute shocking action. Something that nobody could have ever seen coming. During his time, he ruled during many kings of Yehuda. But Yerubim ben Yoash was the one he was one of the kings of Israel. He prophesied specifically during his time. The reason why he's mentioned together with the kings of Yehuda is because he was one of the greats of the Malchai Yisrael. There weren't too many greats of Malchai Yisrael, and even Yerubim ben Yoash did a lot of things wrong. He kept around the Eglez of Yerubim ben Nevat and things like that. But he didn't.
I think there was a single king in Yisrael that doesn't say Vayasara ben Asher.
Correct. Yeah, correct. Hosea ben Ela was the closest to it, but Hosea ben Ela, obviously, he removed everything, and the destruction was during his time. Either way, the Gullus, I should say. Yerubim had great times. He was able to expand the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael and went all the way out to Syria and possibly even to Aram. That's how far he went. The Gemara says that the reason why he was so successful is because he was never mekabel lashon hara about from Amatzia, the bad Navi, the Navi Sheker. He wouldn't take any lashon hara from about any of the Nevi'im or anybody that was saying anything bad about him, and for that reason he is given a tremendous amount of goodness. Zechariah, his son, was a terrible person. He only reigned for a very, very short amount of time, and then came Menachem ben Gadi, and then we'll see how everything goes. Pekach ben Meroyahu, etc. Things ended up going on. Hosea lives that way. Apparently there were a lot of people that also got very drunk very often. They drank a lot of wine, and he's going to speak about that as well in Perek Gimel, etc., in Perek Zion. He's also going to speak about the huge houses, that people had houses that were absolutely massive. So Kiddush Club, basically, and just ostentatiousness. Those are the two things that he spoke about that were there. Sanhedrin disappeared during his time, according to one pshat, although we know that Sanhedrin is supposed to end 40 years before the second Beis HaMikdash ended. So I don't know how that works exactly. Maybe there was a time when the Sanhedrin was lost, etc. He prophesied about the 10 tribes being lost and that Yehuda would remain, but Yehuda would also be lost if they didn't pay attention 100 years later. That was the end of Hosea and what happened over here. So now here we go. Dvar Hashem Asher Hayo Hosea Ben Be'eri B'nei Uziah Yosam Achaz Yechizkiah Malchi Yehuda. This word of God was Hosea Ben Be'eri in the days of Uziah, Yosam, and Achaz, and Chizkiah, the kings of Judah, in the days of Yerovam Ben Yoash Melech Yisrael. So that's the question. That's what we were talking about before. Is it that the first word of God came to Hosea? He was the first of all these prophets, or was this the first prophecy that Hosea received? We'll see reasons two and, you know, for and against soon. Hashem said to Hosea, Lech kach lecha ish znunin, take for yourself a wife of harlotry, the yalde znunin, and you're going to have children from this zona. From the Zona woman you're going to marry. Kizanos tizna arzmach resham, because the people have gone astray and the whole land has gone astray from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so that's that. There's a question who Be'eri is. Who is Be'eri referring to? The Psikta says that he was a prince of Reuven, who was in charge of the Shevet. That's who Be'eri was. And Hosea was his son who got called in charge. The Miamlois brings down from a Medrash that he was called Be'eri because he was a well of the heir of Torah knowledge. And that's what ended up happening. He died in exile, this Be'eri, so that together with him, the 10 tribes who were exiled would also be returned together with them. That's the idea behind it. Now, we do know that Reuven is known as the Baal Tshuva, so to speak, that he's supposed to be known for Baal Tshuva. That was Be'eri's idea as well. The Gemara tells us that Hosea lived a very long life. A very long life means he lived over the age of 80. We don't know how close to the age of 80 he lived until, how much more than that, but that's that. And we spoke about how he was the Navi over the four prophets altogether. Now, this is one of the harshest prophecies. Aside from Shimshon, we never find a prophecy like this. You should take a lady who is unbefitting to your stature and marry her. And even by Shimshon, Shimshon was to marry a Plishti, but not a Zona. A Zona being married by a prophet. See, yes and no. Meaning, I'm saying she was a non-Jew, which is obviously terrible. But she was a non-Jew who didn't have rumors about her. Right?
She's Jewish.
This woman is Jewish. But she was a Jewish woman who was together with many, many men. So because she was known that way, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there's one thing bad about it together with it. Her name was Gomer Bas Devela. As we'll see, Gomer is that everyone was together with her. I'm not going to be graphic. Bas Devela is everybody used her as if she was just a sponge. That's the idea behind it. Devela is in a fig cake. I don't want to be graphic. Anyway, regardless, the idea behind it is that this was, in a way, not exactly birth control. Yes, let's call it that. Yeah, might as well be, right? Might as well be, because otherwise she had 150,000 kids. So either way,
what are those zonas doing those days? I'm sorry.
No, we're not discussing this. That's something you can ask your father. So, the question is like this. If this was the first Nebuah that Hosea ever got, that's a crazy Nebuah. How would you believe such a thing? Like, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you a Nebuah and tells you to go ahead and do this. It's unbelievable that he was willing to listen. So it's possible that the Rambam, for that reason, Amori Nebuchim says, this whole thing was a vision. He never married a Zona. He never had children of harlotry. The whole thing was a vision. That's what the Rambam says. The Ibn Ezra says the same thing, but he doesn't end that way. He doesn't end that that's the pshat.
That's
he says that type of idea.
Ibn Ezra style.
I'm sorry?
It sounds very un-Ibn Ezra style.
Depends on how you look at it. But the Ibn Ezra himself says, yes, in a way it doesn't sound like the Ibn Ezra, because the Ibn Ezra usually goes with whatever the Pasuk says go with. But this idea is so crazy. Yonah ibn Uzziel says, B'nai Yisrael are compared to a promiscuous woman. So therefore, when he said, go marry a promiscuous woman, he meant, go speak to the promiscuous woman. That's how Targum Yonah ibn Uzziel can be translated. That's
well, the next word of the puzzle is Kizanotis Neharis Mechay Hashem.
Exactly, and that's the pshat, but we see that he did it later. So Abarbanel rejects it completely. The Abarbanel says, although it seems that that's what the Rishonim are saying, the Abarbanel doesn't like it. He likes it that this is exactly what happened. Now, that's fine. We're going to see. There are three kids altogether that are going to be born, but they are going to be there.
It's not so far-fetched, because every other Navi is told, in some way, shape, or form to get on the level of the people. Mm-hmm. Go to the market, go here, go there. If this is what the people were doing...
That's a good call. And this is what he has to do in order to get a hold of the people. It's a shock.
Yeah, but what they lose respect for him? Yeah. Like, our leaders were in the same...
You know...
They knew that what they were
again,
doing
again, I've said this before. I hear it if... The guy is like, I'm just going to give an example because we're here. If it was Rabbi Twersky who got up and married Azona after being so many years of something that everybody's like, okay, something's going on here. Such a person wouldn't do it. If this is Hoshea's first vision... Now, we do know that every Navi had to have prerequisites. The Rambam says there are 9 prerequisites. They needed to be great. They needed to be well known. They needed to be chachamim.
This is the first.
It's one of the pshat. Pilas Devar Hashem can mean it's the first word of God to him. We said another pshat that it was the first of all the Nevi'im. But nonetheless, this could be. It could very well be his first Nebuah. If it is, then that's a shocker. So I would go with the pshat that it's not his first vision. That he's gotten more Nebuahs before. He's well known among the people. Everybody knows him as Hoshea, and then all of a sudden, this is what he does. Same thing with Shimshon. Shimshon was an older man who had already been a judge for Klal Yisrael and was already there.
The first thing he does is marry a Plishti. I was like, what's going on?
He's already 40 when that happens. He's already a shofet in Klal Yisrael. He's already judging everybody. And that's why his parents were so shocked. What's going on? You couldn't find a Jewish girl, right, who was among them. And that's why when people already get, it was a little bit different by Shimshon if Hoshea wasn't the first one. But it could be it was the same thing. Now, I will tell you.
The same way Hoshea's a prophet.
Why not?
See, Shimshon's not listed.
The word Ruach Hashem appears by Shimshon.
Hashem, right. Hashem's spirit is not necessarily a Nebuah.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. According to the Rambam, there are 10 levels of Nebuah, and Ruach HaKodesh is the lowest level. Yeah, what's the lowest? I thought it was the lowest level. Ruach HaKodesh is the 10th level.
But we still have around today. We don't have Nebuah around today.
Correct. That is correct. But nonetheless, he was known as a Navi, because of that Ruach Hashem that went with them. I'd have to find a Raya for that. I'd have to find more of a Raya than just that. But I remember the word Ruach Hashem.
But we never see by Yomar Hashem Al-Yoshe. That seems much more direct than the Spirit of God was with him. To say that God has spoke to him.
I can hear it both ways. I definitely hear the Ruach Hashem being something
Ruach Hashem
that's
just Hashem, like whatever his decisions were, Hashem kind of like, you know, prodded him in that direction. This is like God says, do this.
Maybe. It could be different. I hear it. I could hear it both ways. I definitely hear what you're trying to say. I would see it the other way, but I could go both ways. Either way, it doesn't matter. We have this comparison between Hoshea and Shimshon being the only people who like this. Here's the muscle. Here's what ended up happening, the so to speak, Hoshea's failure. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Hoshea that Bnei Yisrael had sinned, and Hoshea says, listen, they're your kids. They're the kids of the Avos, right? If you own the entire world and you feel that they've sinned, so exchange them for another nation. Take other people instead. That was Hoshea's response, which is not mentioned in the text. Okay, the Gemara brings this down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, what should I do with this old man? He should have asked for mercy for Bnei Yisrael. He should have davened. She said, you know what? Go take for yourself a wife of harlotry, and you should have children from there. And then later on he comes to Hoshea and he says, send her away. Divorce the woman and get rid of your children. And he said, wait, if I'm going to send her away, right, I'm going to lose my kids. I don't want to do that. I fell in love with my wife. I fell in love with my kids. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, listen, okay, you, whose wife is a Zona, you have no idea if your children are actually your children or not. And yet still you found love with your wife and you found love with your children that are probably not your children. How can I not love Bnei Yisrael even though they've cheated on me? That's what he gives, and that's the first lesson to be taught over here. That is, they are mine, and how could it not? And Hoshea understood from there that he has to ask mercy for mercy from Klal Yisrael.
That makes more sense than to say that it was a whole vision, because, I mean, this is kind of a long lesson. Like, oh, by the way, you know, a few years later, after he's had a few kids, like, now divorce them.
I mean, I hear him. It has to be like five or six years later,
to be told over to the Jewish people, it seems like something that he would have.
Yep. Yeah, I definitely hear. That is the Rambam's shot. That is the Rambam's shot. Okay, so that's that. That's all they end up saying over here. And, okay, there is another muscle over here, and that's given over here. Just one last thing over here is that Eliyahu and Yeshaya also spoke derogatorily about Bnei Yisrael, and they were immediately told that they had done something wrong and punished. Eliyahu and Yeshaya had both spoken badly about Bnei Yisrael, and they were punished. Moshe Rabbeinu never spoke badly about the Israel. He said to their faces, Mamrim Hayisim Mashem, and he said that they were Morim by the Meimariva, but never to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that these people, I can't listen,
really?
Maybe close at the end of Shmos, maybe you're referring to, at the end of Shmos, there's a close line. Baloscha, he said, how long can I carry this nation?
And he says in Burning Bush, he says, they won't listen to me.
He even said that in Ba'ira again. He repeated it because he saw that was the reality. He did say certain things, but again, those can be used as sort of a springboard to go somewhere else. Hoshea was different in a way from Yishai and Eliyahu and Abihu, however. He had no idea what his full mission was just yet. He thought he was being asked a question. He was answering the way it should be. Find another nation. Right here, he's telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I think that's it. Now Hashem is telling him, no, your mission is to change. Your mission is to make them change and to do something a little bit better. Okay, Pasuk Gimel. Ba'yelav Yikach is going about Zvei Lama Tarvat Loben. We already spoke about her name. She became pregnant. She gave birth to him, a son. Ba'yelav Hashem, I love Kroshmo Yisrael. You will call his name Yisrael. Yisrael is the seed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's going to be referring to B'nai Yisrael, as well as the nations that are planted to punish B'nai Yisrael. It's going to be used in a positive and negative way for the rest of the Navi. Just a little bit, I will remember the blood of Yisrael, of the Jews that died, the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the house of Yehu. I'm going to destroy them from being a house of B'nai Yisrael. Now Yehu, remember, was the one who killed the house of Achav. He's not the house of Achav, of Yerubim ben Nevat. He's one that destroyed all that house. Achav. His children afterward. Was it Achav? My last supplement? Okay, so it was Achav. It probably says it over here. But that's that. So because they did that, I'm going to bring it back. Then it'll break the bow of Israel. The strength of the B'nai Yisrael, of their Malchus, is going to be gone from among them. Okay, there's a lot of different pshatim about what it refers to over here when it says each child that's going to be born. Yisrael can also refer to Yerubim ben Yoash, that he's going to be the strongest out of all of them. Others say it refers to Hoshea ben Ela. Regardless, at the end of the day, that's the idea behind it. Fine. Gomer Bas Tevela, by the way, is also, according to the Abarbanel, a remez to B'nai Yisrael being gone. Gomer means they will finish, they will be done. Bas Tevela is they will be like a dried up fig. They will wither away and die. In Pasuk Vav, it says, Vakaro Vetelabas, she gave birth, she became pregnant again, she gave birth to a daughter, Vyamal Kroshma, Lo Ruchama, Kadosh Baruch Hu said to him, call her name, I will not have mercy, Lo Ruchama. We still name our kids Ruchama, by the way. There are children named Ruchama.
But this is Lo Ruchama.
Yeah, this is Lo Ruchama. Yes. Nobody says that, yeah. Ki Lo Osif Oda Racham. By the way, does anybody know Yisrael? I don't think that makes it anywhere. I don't think
there's a valley in Israel called Yisrael.
Jezreel, yeah. Jezreel. Ki Lo Osif Oda Racham is based on Ki Naso Asolahem. Naso Asolahem. I will no longer have mercy on B'nai Yisrael, right, in order to pardon their sins, right, in order to get rid of their sins. That's the second one over here. That's a question, again, about which king that refers to. It could be Zechariah. That's Beis Yehuda Arachem. But I will have mercy on Beis Yehuda, Voshatim Hashem Elokeihem, and I will save them by Hashem, their God. But I will not save them by the bow, by the sword, by war, by horses, by chariots. This is a clear Nevuah referencing the war of Sanherith, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when all of Beis Yisrael was destroyed, meaning the 10 tribes were exiled, etc., by Sanherith, Sanherith came to Beis Yehuda and tried to destroy Chizkiyahu, and that night the Malachim won, right? The Malachim chased them away, killed all of them. It was not by sword, by bow, by battle, by horses, by horsemen. They won in a miraculous fashion from a Malach. Fatigmol es Lo Ruchama Vatar Vateleben. She weaned Lo Ruchama. She became pregnant. She gave birth to a daughter. So it's a big question about what happened. I'm sorry, that's not third son, I'm sorry, over here. So some say that the reason why it's this way is because the third birth, meaning the exile of Yehuda, did not take place immediately. Although the first two happened immediately, the first two bad things that were going to happen, that the house of Yehu was going to be destroyed, and then B'nai Yisrael were going to be exiled from the land, was going to happen very quickly. It would take a while for Beis Yehuda to be exiled.
The blood of Israel?
The blood of it's a bit of a question, but it's referring to the children that were killed by Yehu, meaning the whole family.
Ahab, you suppose, commanded to kill.
And the family, well, not Ahab, Ahab, but
no, it's the family. Yeah. So why does he? Why does his their blood need to be avenged if he was commanded to by the Navi?
Good question. The Mamluk says because he followed in Ahab's footsteps. Had he gone in the right way and kept doing the right thing, things would have been okay with him. But he kept doing bad things, and for that reason, what is Zorah special? That's that. Zorah El, planted by God and allowed to thrive, but on the other hand what's it called? That it refers to evil, but I forgot how. It's Zeru'el or something like that. Ra'el, I don't remember what it is, but it's the other way around. You're going to call his name not my nation. Because you're not my nation, and I will no longer be with you. That will happen by the times that everybody is going to be completely gone, and everybody is going to be out of the land, unfortunately, like that. Okay, it's crazy stuff, but there's another mashal to be given over. A father and a son were seated at a table, someone approached his son and asked, "Who's your dad? Who's your daddy?" The son immediately pointed to the man sitting next to him. It is not the same if the son were asked the question when alone. He would not bring the questioner home to his father. He would just describe or name his father, and that would be that. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when we follow, obey Hashem's will, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right there next to us. We can point to him and say, here he is. When we're not, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is farther away, and it's more difficult for us to see where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is or how he's helping us. Alright, that's the end of Perek Aleph. Now, Perek Beis. The number of Bnei Yisrael, here's the question. Is it they are like the sand of the sea, or they will be like the sand of the sea? Asher lo yimad v'lo yisafer, they cannot be measured nor counted. In place of the name that I just gave them of the third son of you are not my nation, you will now be known as the children of the living God. That's what it's supposed to be over here. Now, that's also extremely interesting over here. It seems to be that Bnei Yisrael are going to increase in such a way to become greater and greater and greater. Here's what ended up happening. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed it to be this way. A king was angry at his wife. In his anger, he sent for a sofer to write her a bill of divorce. Before the sofer arrived, however, the king was reconciled with his wife. He knew that the sofer would be puzzled as to why he was coming. So he said to him, "Come and write that I am doubling the prescribed sum in her ksuba." That's the idea that it's going to be even better if you do tshuva. In such a way that even though you've done badly, right, but I already called the sofer to divorce you, but I know I'm not going to, that's the idea behind it. Now, there's a lot of questions about what it means to count the number of sand in the thing versus counting the stars in the sky. The basic idea is the reason why you can't really count sand is not only because it's so tiny, it's because it's constantly moving. Like stars in the sky, we know, go through constellations. Sand also moves around by either Earth moving around or by people moving around, and there's sand all over the place.
Let's say it didn't move. Let's say
it's still so tiny, right? It really applies to the stars more than anything else. The stars mamish move. So even if you start counting, by the time you finish in this section, the section's already moved over a little bit. There's another section that just came up and another section just left.
So you don't move.
So it's difficult.
What's in front of you?
By the time you finish, that's the point, it'll already be too far across, right? Because the constellations are already moving. The idea is that when a person is constantly moving...
Billion stars.
That's a lot.
Universe.
That's a lot. Yeah, you'd have to have a number for that one. But because the Jews are constantly moving and making themselves better, that's when they cannot be counted. That's the ability for them to be able to become better. There's
all
so much
people in the history of the world haven't even reached near that.
No, the billions, right? That's all we've gotten to, like 15 billion, 16 billion. We've only had 5,800 years. All the children of Yehuda and children of Bnei Yisrael have gathered together. They appointed one head in charge of all the minarets, and they will go up from the land. That will be the great day of Yisrael. According to the Medrash, that refers to Mashiach ben Yosef. Others say it refers to Eliyahu Hanavi. The Abarbanel says this refers to the absolute Geula. However, the Ibn Ezra says this is a reference to punishment. that this is the day they're going to gather together and be put into exile. That it's a bad thing of what it refers to over here. But according to the Abarbanel, this is a reference to something good that they're going to improve from this. Imru la'achichem, say to your brothers, Ami, you are my people, v'lachosechem ruchamo, and to your sisters ruchamo. According to Ibn Ezra, this is all sarcastic. Do you think I should call them my brothers? Do you think I should, my people? Do you think I should call your sisters merciful? Do you think that should happen? It was sarcastic, but according to Barbanel, it's simple. Once they become Ami, they deserve Ruchama. Rivu be'imcham rivu. Plead with your mother. Plead with the Shechina. Ki hi lo ishti, v'anochi lo isha. Because she is not my wife, and I am not her husband right now. We've separated. The Sosser Znunem, if I take away all the Znus. Now, Znus could be referring to the actual Gilead, it could be referring to Avodah Zarah. And her adultery is from between her breasts. Maybe I should strip her aruma naked, and place her as she was on the day of her birth, and place her in the desert, and let her set as if a dry land, and let her die by thirst. According to the Medrash, this refers to how HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Bnei Yisrael when they were Arum the Erya. That's the wording that we use in the Haggadah. I think you guys have the same wording, right? Arum the Erya, right, in the, what's it called, in Mitzrayim, as if we had no schuyos whatsoever, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us off the street, an urchin off the street, raised us, gave us everything we need, and then we slapped our father in the face after that happened. And that's the idea of stripping her naked. I'll put you back in the wilderness. You were better when you were poor. You were better when you didn't have all this stuff. That's the idea behind it, the idea of what's going to happen. There are others that say that it refers to Sanhedrin being gone, that the judges of Sanhedrin will no longer be in charge, and they're going to be naked and bereft of any ability to judge correctly. This Benelo of Rachim says the Kadosh Baruch will not have any mercy on her children, because they're all children of harlotry, because their mother, meaning all of Klal Yisrael, has done promiscuity. They've been promiscuous by going to Avodah Zarah, by doing Znus. Visha Ho Rasam, the one who was conceived is now embarrassed. Ki Amra Elkach Reina Havai, she says, I'm going after my loved ones. Nos Ne Lachmi, the ones who give my bread, Umeimai, my water. Samu Pishri, the one who gave me wool and linen. Shamni Vishkuyoi, all of my oil and all of my drink. Me, the person who gave me everything that I wanted, I went against him, and I was together with people that I never should have been with. Lachim. In the Soch Estarchik Basirim, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I have to hedge your way with thorns. Vigidarti is Gedera, when he sees as well as himself. And I'm going to fence up all the areas so that she cannot find her path. So you know what the pshat is? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to make it harder for you to do all this Avodah Zarah and for you to do the Gilui Arayos. I'm going to put up pathways. The husband says, if I know my wife is leaving in order to commit Znus, then I'm going to make it more difficult for her to do so. I love my wife. I don't want her to do such a thing. So I'm going to lock the doors so that she doesn't get out. I'm going to make sure that I take away her keys so that such a thing doesn't happen. I'm going to make sure that Bnei Yisrael doesn't have that. The Ritfos Mahava, and she still runs after her loved ones. The Losasigosam, she's not able to reach them. Or the Kshasam, the Losimsa, she's going to request them and ask for them. She won't find them. The Amra Ilkova Shubal Isha Rishon. Then she's going to say, you know what? I'm going to go back to my first husband. He totally owes me out because it was better for me then than it was right now. There's a lot of Pshatim on what that refers to, but the simple Pshat is that the loved ones is referring to Ashur and Egypt, who a lot of the Jews put all of their faith in, that if they paid them enough money, they would save them from any issues that would ever come up. We know that by the end of the first base of Mikdash, Tzidkiyah had a lot of faith in the Egyptians coming to help them, which never happened. They never came to be able to help them.
And also you're referring to the Avodah Zarah, that they sent them as their first husband, and they found the Avodah Zarah.
Sure,
bad if they wanted to go.
I think that's the Pashut idea. For some reason, he doesn't bring that shot, but I think that's the obvious one. He also brings down false prophets, right? Another way of going through. He says an interesting shot over here. To what can this can be compared that is better for me now? In the course of his travels, a respected businessman came to a small town. He entered a motel and found it entirely empty to people, lacking any kind of food or drink. The man didn't blame the town. He blamed the owner of the hotel. Apparently, he was too poor to be able to buy the necessities that he needed to own a real motel. The man asked to be directed to the next hotel. He was directed to the next hotel. Entering, he found that the serving dishes were poor quality, even though they had food and drink, but the stuff he was being served on was disgusting. Now he said, it's, it's not just the hotel owners, it's the whole town. There's something wrong here. If like the best hotels, right, the two hotels that I can go to, nothing's here, there's something wrong over here. That's the idea, that we're naked, we're deprived of everything. We see that it's the hand of God. Sometimes we're able to see it a little bit clearer. Unfortunately, we've been very successful in Golos. We have not been successful in Geula. In times of Geula, when we've had a lot of riches and things have gone well, we very easily kick God to the curb, so to speak, and say we're taking care of ourselves.
Whole, looking at Golos as a whole, have we really been that successful? I mean, we've been successful at maintaining certain things, but you're talking about like in Gashmius? Or?
No, I meant Ruchnius. I mean, we're able to find God and have a connection with God better than when we had a Beis HaMikdash right in front of us. And although that can be argued, I certainly think that can be argued in a way, it is true that you can see just in a microcosm of Chicago itself, we come together for Tzaros. Somebody passes away, a shocker or something like that, we'll get together for a Tillum session. Who in the world gets together in a regular thing? Who doesn't speak Lashon Hara about the other shul, right? When there is no Tzaros going on. When there's Tzaros, we're able to bond. That's what we're able to do.
That things were going bad, so now all of a sudden...
Exactly. Now,
like you
see
some, though, that they weren't doing it to the point that they should have been doing it. Like, even then, these things got destroyed. So they weren't...
I hear you. But they did enough so to bring back the Beis HaMikdash. You know, when they were in Golos and Bavel, you know, terrible things happened. There were many people who found the strength to be able to get up and go. I guess that's always the way it's been. There's always been that minority that's able to rule, you know, even though the majority never went the right way. You know?
Well, this person is a minority in order to have a continuation of the... Like, people had to... The Sanhedrin had to make all these new takanas and all these new rules in order for
things to happen.
All those after the second
year,
continue.
For these measures to be let
And I don't mean to get... But if you look at this, I mean, Orthodox Jews represent a very small minority of the Jewish world at large. But if you look at just the last, you know, 100 years or so versus like Reform Jews, somebody told me that their shul no longer exists because nobody was Jewish anymore.
Baruch Hashem, we had a lot of success in that way, and unfortunately a lot of success the other way. You know, that line is going to be said by Hosea, that the weak will be weeded out, so that they won't be Jewish anymore, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to deal with them, so to speak. That is going to be a line. Let's get to it, and it's unfortunate. Hilo yadol kianok nesati lo adog matirush vayitzor. Yeah, unfortunately. The kesef erbezi lo vizol vasu labal is a pasuk yud. She doesn't even know that I gave her that grain and the wine and the oils and the money and the gold. Right? And they used it for the baal. Instead of using it for something good, they used it for the baal. Right? Lachain ashav lakati dugani biyito. Therefore, I'm going to take back my grain, my wine, and its proper name. I'm going to take away all my tzemer and the fishin, right? And I'm going to cover it, you know, used to cover up her nakedness. I'm going to take it away. I'm going to reveal her abominations, and the eyes of all of her lovers. Nobody will be able to save her from my hand. The line is, there's no longer going to be schosavos. How is it possible there's no more schosavos? The Gemara says, it's going to be blocked. The schosavos is going to be blocked. There's going to be an iron wall, so to speak, in between, that doesn't allow it to happen. And the reason why it happened in the times of Hosea ben Be'eri, that schosavos ended, there are three opinions when schosavos ended in the Gemara and Shabbos. One of the opinions that's mentioned is because, during the times of Hosea ben Be'eri, they were over on Avodah Zarah and Gili Arias. And that was so terrible at the time, or I guess it was so rampant, or public, that it became so terrible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said schosavos is over.
Yeah,
even though
do you really believe in an iron wall between us and God?
What do you mean by that?
Like,
I mean, can't our tefillah still break through?
Yeah, it's like that's what everything's predicated on.
This is the problem. We certainly know there were tremendous tzaddikim that were not over on this, right? There were certain tzaddikim. How many were there? I'd like to think a lot more than what it seems, but let's say that it was a 10th, a 12th, a 15th, let's say something like that. I would assume it's more than that, but let's say those people would be able to have their tefillahs break through. Theirs, they could break through, but they won't. You know what I'm saying? If they really worked on themselves, then yeah, it would break through the iron wall that was in between. They'd make holes through it. But it won't. They just won't. They won't do it. So I'm going to cause all the rejoicing to end. Chagah, Chodshah, V'Shabbatah. The Chol Moedah. For Chagim, meaning that refers to specifically rejoicing during the Shlosh Regalim. The Chodesh refers to Rosh Chodesh. Shabbatah, the Shabbosos, right? Chol Moedah, and any other time like Rosh Hashanah, those types of days, Shmini Atzeres, which is not necessarily necessarily one of the Shlosh Regalim. All those days, they're going to end all of those, either because they're going to stop them themselves, Bnei Yisrael stopped keeping the Shlosh Regalim because they were doing those Eglei Zav and Yerubim and made up his own holidays. And it could be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just said there was no Simcha left. I'm going to lay waste all the vines, the fig trees, everything that they said I was given by my lovers, etc. My Avodah Zarah gave it to me, and something I'm going to make into a forest, and the wild animals of the field are going to take it instead. For all the days that they worship those Baals, I'm going to remember that. You burned incense, and then right? You adorned yourself with earrings, the kol yoso, and all the jewels. You forgot me, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Therefore, I'm going to seduce her. I'm going to bring her into the wilderness, and I'm going to speak to her. This is referring to, again, Bnei Yisrael. I'm going to bring them into exile, and I'm going to have a better relationship when they realize how wrong they've been. And I'll give her vineyards from there. In the valley of Achor, right, will be an area of hope for them. There, she's going to respond. She's going to answer there, like she did in her youth, Kiyom Alos Eretz Mitzrayim, in the days when she was brought up from Eretz Mitzrayim. There's a remez for this, from this pasuk, for the 45 days of purification from the times of Eliyahu HaNavi, right before Eliyahu HaNavi and Mashiach come. There's supposed to be 45 days of final purging, and where tons of deaths happen, and then Eliyahu HaNavi and Mashiach comes. There's a remez from this pasuk. The reason why is because the days of the Pesach, we all know the Pesach happened on the 15th of Nisan, and they arrived in the wilderness of Har Sinai on the 1st of Sivan. And that was altogether 45 days between those two. And between those two, from one to the other, that's the remez that's brought down from, I guess you can call it the Mikubalim, but this is a Midrashim that are bringing it down, that there's 45 days that will happen before Eliyahu. This is not a Gemara that I know of. It might be a Yerushalmi, I just don't, it's not a Gemara. At that point, you will call me Ishi. You will no longer call me Bali. Why not Bali? Well, either number one, because Bali sounds too much like Baal, and Baal is a Avodah Zarah. So you're going to call me Ishi. Or the other idea is that an Ish connotes oneness, as if we're together completely, as if we're one man, so to speak. A Baal says, I'm your husband, but I'm separate from you. There's a conditional relationship. I am your owner, your master, the one in charge, only if you listen to me, etc. So in that sense, we no longer want it to be that way. So I'll Kaddish Baruch Hu says, no longer are you going to call it Bali. You're going to have a connection with me. You're going to feel closer to me than you ever did before. Lots of stuff in the Namalis brings on. I will remove all the names of the Baals from your mouth. You'll no longer remember them. You'll no longer mention them by name. I would assume back then everybody knew the names of the Baalim as if they were like baseball cards and like everybody had it. Right? They all had it. Like, I'm Baal Poor. You want to trade for Baal Tzabon?
Just about onto a little, you know, stones.
Little stones, right? No, for sure they had it on little tops. Tops for sure was around then. At some point, people forget the Baals. Now, we know about Baal Zbuv, Baal Tzifon, Baal Peor. We know about, there's one other one that we know about. But, like, we know those guys. We don't know about Ekron. But we don't know about any of the others. The others that were out there, that it could be hundreds of the Baalim. We don't know those anymore. And they were forgotten from your mouths. You're no longer going to mention them in your names. Some say that B'lo Yizaku Od B'Shmam is a mitzvah that you're not supposed to mention Avodah Zarah, but that probably comes from the Torah. There's another passage in the Torah that seems to say that. I'm going to make a bris with the beasts of the field and the birds of the heavens and the bugs of the ground, the keshes, the chair of Mohammed, and the bows and the sword and war. I'm going to get rid of all that from the land. I will make them lie down in safety without any problem whatsoever. The nations are no longer going to have any issues. We're going to get to that, but Hosea is basically saying there will be peace among all the nations. And then they these are the lines that you say when you wrap the tefillin around your middle finger as if there's a wedding ring, right, between these two fingers over here. You read this, I will be in betrothed to you forever, right? I will be betrothed to you with righteousness and judgment, b'chatzav rachamim. If you do that, right, those become my gifts. As we all know, there's a minug for the chazan, for you guys. The chazan brings the kallah gifts before and during the wedding itself. I'm sure you know about that already. And the kallah gives the chazan certain gifts, right? There are certain gifts. No. quite for both. But the famous thing nowadays is the guy gets the chosen watch, he gets cufflinks. I didn't get cufflinks, right? He gets whatever it is, right? But the girl gets the ring and the bracelet and the pearls and whatever it is, right? But it's minhagim, right?
Is it minhagim or is it the world?
That's what we do now. That's what we do now. Back in the day, what did they do? They gave gifts. Those were the savlonos and whatever it was that we talk about in Ksuvas, right? There were gifts that were given over from the husband to the wife and the wife to the husband. The wife didn't give the husband much. But regardless, there were little gifts that were brought in. Well, she does. She makes the... Is it called the boudoir? What is it? The
general...
Like the sheets and blankets and towels. She makes all those. Whatever. She brings that in. He gives jewelry. Dowry, right? So they have stuff like that. So it's gifts. This is, you give me Tzedek Mishpat Chesed Rachamim, and I'll give you Emunah Yadatzas Hashem. My gift to you is that you'll have faith in me and that you'll know that I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu and that I'm helping you wherever you go. The idea behind it. There are some lessons for a husband and wife over here. It's like a chassan class that he talks about over here. Inside here. So let's finish off the parak. Pasuk Chav Gimel Vayabayomahu Enenu Mashem Enes Hashemayim Nehemianu Azaret. On that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to respond, right? I'm going to respond to the heavens and they're going to respond to the earth. In other words, I'm going to bring rain down to the land. If we understood before, there's a 45-day drought beforehand where everybody is starving and whatever it is, there's a huge famine in the land. Now I'm going to take care of everything. I'm going to make sure the land answers. The earth kindness, the dogmas, the dirus, the yitor, I'll give all of its grain and wine and oil. Hamianu is Yisrael, and they will respond to Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, planted or whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted from the world. And I will plant them for me in the land, and I will give mercy to Lo Ruchama. Again, that's the name of the daughter. And I will say to those who are not my nation, you are my nation. And they will call me my God. Right? And that's the idea behind it. Some say that refers to the Gerim itself. Others say, if you notice, these are the second two kids. Right? The first kid, Yisrael, who's mentioned over there. What?
Uzratia.
That's good. It's really from Yisrael in the Pasuk before. Pasuk Chabdalet.
Prayer. God should have won, hopefully.
Good. And he's using it in a good way. But the pshat is because, remember, Yisrael was just about Yehu being destroyed, about that nation. Bnei Yisrael being exiled, and Bnei Yehuda being exiled was a reference to Lo Ruchama and Lo Ami. Those were the two that refers to them. Those are the ones that are going to be brought back. Yisrael was just Yehu. That was a different issue altogether. That Yisrael is now going to be in a good way, that I'm going to destroy the nation or whatever is going to happen. Right? But these two are going to come back. That's the idea behind it. That's how he ends Perek Beis. Again, a little bit of consolation together with the tzaras. You see the tzaras very clearly. The consolation comes together. And then comes Perek Gimel over here.